Our mindset, or the way we think about things, has a powerful influence on the kind of life we build. Today's guest, Ginny Kochis, is here to help us with cultivating a Catholic growth mindset.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Hello and welcome. I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host, and today's topic is cultivating a Catholic growth mindset. I'm delighted to welcome Ginny Kochis back to the show. Ginny Kochis is a Catholic wife and mom of three differently wired children. She founded the Not So Formulaic community to support Catholic moms raising out-of-the-box kids. Ginny believes God gives curious, creative, intense children the exact mother they need to thrive. You can find Ginny Kochis, her community, and her many original and recommended resources at www.notsoformulaic.com. That's in the show notes. But formulaic is F-O-R-M-U-L-A-I-C, so notsoformulaic.com. Hey, Ginny, it's great to have you back.
Hi, thanks so much for having me again. It's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Let's just start out of the gate by defining terms so we all start on the kind of an even playing field. There's a lot of jargon out there these days about mindset. What do we mean by a growth mindset?
So the term growth mindset was actually coined by a researcher named Carol Dweck in around 2005. So it's been kind of on the scene for about 16 years or so. What she noticed in her research is that because she was in elementary school classrooms during observations, trying to see like why some children tended to be more successful in the classroom than others. And what she found is that children who saw obstacles and challenges as opportunity tended to do better in the classroom and essentially just in their life experiences than children who kind of shied away from taking risks, who took struggles and difficulties to heart and just sort of shut down. And it makes sense. I mean, you know, life is not easy. You know, God never promised it would be easy. So, you know, we have these setbacks and these struggles. And, you know, while it's tempting, you know, to kind of shut down, what a growth mindset is when we take those obstacles and challenges and use them as stepping stones. So instead of having what is called a fixed mindset, which is just that I can't change, this is the way I am, I am not good at X, Y, Z, that's just not my thing. Instead, it's changing the way you think to more of a broader, I don't know how to do this yet, but I can learn. Or, that didn't go very well the first time. I'm going to try again and learn from what didn't go right the first time. Growth mindset is where you look at obstacles as opportunity. Fixed mindset is where you allow obstacles to slow your momentum and keep you from moving forward. So.
Wow, that's so powerful. And when we're working with our children, it's important to help them to notice, like, what are they thinking about things? You know, any of us who have had therapy have heard of the cognitive behavioral approach, right? Where thoughts lead to feelings and feelings lead to actions. So if we take the initiative to just steer our thoughts a little differently in a God-centered way, that ripple effect profoundly changes our lives over time.
Yeah, it's very much an aspect of metacognition, you know, thinking about what you're thinking about. And I think, you know, especially with kids and with us, really, even with me, I have to be very careful because I tend toward perfectionism. I do have anxiety. I do have depression. I struggle with imposter syndrome, thinking that I'm actually a fraud. You know, even now as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking there's this little voice in my head that's like, everyone is going to see right through you.
How dare you try to help people?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's, you have to be really careful because, you know, we say things without really even thinking about it. And you begin to see those patterns reflected back in your children. So, you know, that's why I think why it's very important, you know, to help them be aware of the thoughts that they're having and to kind of put those desolations in their place.
Mm. So. Oh, what a great word. Putting those desolations in their place. That's such a good thing. It's in the spiritual life. We can see, we could go down a rabbit hole here that might be very appropriate, but about the spiritual warfare that we face too when we try to grow. So step us into the Catholic part. How is that even better than just a general growth mindset?
Well, one of the ways I describe this, or I'd like to talk about it, is thinking about, you know, when you get a box of donuts from the store, okay? And you know, you have the ones with the holes in them, like the normal donuts, and then you get the ones that are filled, like with Boston cream or jelly or something. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's like, yeah. So secular growth mindset is like a Boston cream donut, right? So you pick it up and you take a bite in it. And at first all you get is the dough. And then you take another bite and there's still just dough. And then by the time you're halfway through the donut, there's no filling. Like there's nothing substantial in there. You were expecting something more. And when I first heard about growth mindset, I kind of felt that way about it. I was like, you know, this is good, but something's not right. You know, it felt a little empty. And I think the thing about secular culture is that, you know, all of us, the human heart longs for God. So what ends up happening is that we end up dancing around the reality of, you know, what our hearts are really desiring. And so, you know, I think secular culture tries to approximate it as often as they can. And, you know, the secular growth mindset approach, I think, is one way that it's approximating it, because when you look at it from a Catholic perspective, then you get the cream filling inside the donut. Okay. You get the good stuff. It's really in there because, you know, whereas a secular growth mindset teaches, you know, kids especially that, you know, you can do anything, a Catholic growth mindset focuses on the fact that you can do anything through Christ. And it's not that your child can become or do anything. It's that your child can become the fullness of himself when your child discerns God's will and follows that. So when you approach it from a Catholic perspective, you can pull in the virtues. You can pull in the works of mercy, and you begin to see how, you know, like prudence, the ability to discern right from wrong, fortitude, you know, it's basically courage and perseverance, you know, charity, doing good for other people, even when it's hard or it's not what you want to do, you know, all of these things that we have in the beauty of our Catholic faith help us to develop that sort of a growth mindset. Whereas, you know, yes, things are hard, and even redemptive suffering, like, things are hard, but our suffering and the struggle that we have is not meaningless. And I think that specifically is really valuable, especially for kids who are differently wired. Because I think about, you know, my oldest is a high functioning autistic, which she's one of those kids where, you know, if you don't know, you wouldn't know, but she knows, and, you know, partially because she is so, you know, she is so aware, she's very self-aware, and it makes it hard for her, I think, on just a basic level to say, you know, hey, I'm a teen girl and I'm different, and it's not easy. And so, you know, I want her to know that that experience is not in vain, that there is something that God is doing, is going to, you know, because God makes all things new and beautiful. So, you know, her struggle, you know, her, when she struggles with, you know, being in social situations, not because she doesn't like people, but because she worries about, you know, is she going to info dump too much? Are they going to get tired of listening to her talk about what she wants to talk about? You know, it's helping her in ways that she might not readily recognize. You know, and so I think the value of redemptive suffering and the value of, you know, the works of mercy where, you know, in the corporal works of mercy, where we are actually out actively doing hard things for the sake of others, you know, it's like the virtue of justice. You know, we are doing what is due our neighbor because of their dignity as a child of God. So, you know, when you give up, if you're in a group setting and you decide that the project that you're working on is too hard and you say, I'm just going to quit, or like if you're on a team and it's not going the way you want, if you quit, you know, you're not giving your team members or your group members the things that they're due as, you know, as part of their dignity. I started rambling there, but but that is essentially, I think that's the essence of what the difference is to me, is that it's rooting it in Christ and where we're all supposed to be, so that it's not a material grab. It's more of a, you know, becoming fully alive. So.
Yeah, yeah. And everything you just described is how the church teaches us to see the opportunity and the challenge. And
right.
yet the secular society just sees the challenge as getting that project in on time or, you know, thinking big to be big.
Right.
We step into a vision that is way too big for us when we grab the hand of God and say yes.
Right.
And we can be humble and bold at the same time. We can see those challenges as opportunities to grow in the virtues, to be more of what we are meant to image as made in the image and likeness of God. So everything that you said just made perfect sense. I didn't think that was rambling at all.
Okay, good. there's my fixed mindset coming through.
See, it's like there you go.
It's a constant battle. You know, you really do have to. Yeah, you have to be on it all the time.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, when you're somebody who delights in learning, too, just to come back to this, you encountering your own mindset or me, mine, people who are natural learners who love to research and share those little jewels to help another person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can start to worry that we're over talking or that we've gone down a fascinating rabbit hole. But I feel like God takes care of it. If we're concerned about each other and we're motivated to serve him in what we do, we end up in the right place, don't we?
Yeah, we do, yeah. And that is, you know, that's part of it is, you know, not focusing on, well, I mean, yes, it's gonna be uncomfortable. You know, life isn't, like I said earlier, life is not easy. And that's why, you know, I think about that quote from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, where he says, you were not made for comfort, you were made for greatness. Not greatness in the sense that the world defines it, but, you know, greatness in the sense that we are, you know, that we are children of God. You know, and that we are his hands and feet here on earth. So it's not easy and it feels hard. But yeah, you know, I think there is such immense value behind that, you know, behind navigating through it and becoming who you are.
So. Yeah. And every one of those challenges. I remember Peter Kreft once said, I interviewed him long ago. He said that our lives were like a spiritual gymnasium. And you don't go to a gymnasium to lay around, you work. And so it doesn't mean that we never rest or we're not going to give our muscles a chance to get reoxygenated before the next set or whatever. But we are there to work and get stronger.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. So what are some typical mindsets that keep us from, as Catholics and as human beings, from being oriented to growth? You mentioned that sense that, you know, this is just me, this is all I can do. What else is typical?
You know, I think there's a lot. I think there's the trap of comparison, where we begin to say, you know, I don't have what that person has. I don't have the ability to offer that. No one is going to listen to me. You know, a lot of it really does go back to desolations. You know, those thoughts that we have, you know, where we say things like, well, I wasn't meant to do that. It's not something that I am capable of doing. And it's, you know, it is true in some senses that, you know, there are things that we are not necessarily suited for. But I think it's a slippery slope because you begin then to say, well, if I can't do that, then what can I do? I'm worthless, you know? Mm-hmm. So you have to be really careful of that. I know from my own perspective, I really have a hard time with change, with doing things differently. I'm very, you know, I've always been that way. In fact, when I was 3 years old, I locked myself, my parents were trying to trade their car in, and I locked myself in the car with the keys and sat on the center console and just kept saying, no, you can't take my car. You can't take my car.
Oh,
they like to tell that story. I don't enjoy but still, as an adult, I really am hesitant to change. It makes it, you know, it makes life very difficult. You know, having new children or having my children, you know, I really felt like, gosh, I can't handle this. I can't do this. This is out of my realm of comfort. You know, just being able to step out and do something that maybe doesn't feel like what you're used to doing. You know, and I think when we talk about Catholicism, that comes into play with evangelism, you know, spreading the truth, you know, well, gosh, I don't usually do that. I'm not really comfortable with that. I think I'm going to be quiet. But, you know, as we've seen more and more, you know, the more we are quiet, the more things fall apart. So, you know, resistance to change, comparison, imposter syndrome. I think perfectionism in a way can be a mindset, but that can also be related to anxiety. So and because I'm in a family with lots of individuals who are differently wired, I don't like to relegate and say, well, you can cure your depression or your anxiety just by changing the way you think. Like, that's not really, that's not my perspective on things. But I think it can become a mindset when, even if you're getting into, like for me, for example, I am in treatment for my anxiety and my depression, talk therapy, medication, but still it's become like a habit, even when I'm not feeling it inside, the thought is still there. It's because my brain has created those, those neural pathways that are just used to the same responses over and over again. I think those are some solid ones that people can get stuck in.
Yeah, absolutely. We can be stuck in a story that we create that gives us a context for our lives. And some of that story is really useful. Where do I come from? What do we believe? Where have we been? Where are we going? That's all really valuable stuff. But sometimes the story takes over and it gets too loud a voice. And I also want to just touch on the idea of imposter syndrome. It's very typical of highly gifted people to suffer from imposter syndrome. It's like the highest percentage is in that category. They're really sensitive people. They question themselves a lot. They're maybe a little too self-analytical in the sense of too analytical, meaning that it can just be like this racehorse that wants to run, just overanalyzing. Sure. It's a power in the gifted brain. And so just having touchstones, however it is we learn to manage that. Some people will keep a success list and just reflect on that prayerfully and gratefully. Yeah, that was scary and that was difficult, but I came through that. I was able to do that, and now I can do this too. So there's really neat strategies. What are some other ways that we can make that shift out of a mindset that's holding us back?
Well, I think, practicing, there's always the standby of, say this, not that. So, replacing your standard negative self-talk with a healthier, better alternative. There are lots of different ones. I have a couple of resources on my website that have different options, things say this, not that, that you can use. I think also, one of the things I learned from while I was in therapy, actually, I have trouble with avoidance, and behavioral activation. Like, I get so stuck in my, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, that I put things off, like things that I really should, give attention to. So one of the things I learned was to break even things that seem like very small tasks into even more manageable chunks. Making doctor's appointments. I have a really hard time with that. This isn't necessarily a mindset issue. It's more a part of my anxiety. But just to give you an example, I have a hard time calling on the phone and making appointments. So like writing it on my calendar and picking a time for it, then, looking up the number and putting the number next to the, just breaking it into small.
Yeah.
So that will help also. I have lots of different, different activities and things that will help. Even just reviewing, looking at the value of the things that you have accomplished in the past, where you talked about having a list of your accomplishments, just as proof and as a reminder of, yes, I can actually do these things. I have done these things, and I can continue to do these things. But also, delving into scripture, I think really helps. There are so many passages in scripture, Psalm, I think it's, is it 139?
We are wonderfully made.
Yes. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. And then, again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. And also just setting aside time for prayer. I think my general approach on life has improved since I started using, a lot of people use the Hallow app, but just, having dedicated time for prayer, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes, that's structured, because I pray all day, just kind of in the back of my mind, but being in a place where it's just, that's all I'm doing, you know, that kind of opens the doorway, I think, to more of those constellations than perhaps we get if we're just kind of flitting through the day in a hurry, so.
Yeah, and I heard somebody say recently that if we just look at the gospel for the day, every day, even if we can't get to Mass, just do like a quick lectio, like, Lord, what are you saying to me today? And just take a little moment to just draw something from the well can really gradually over time start to shift us into more of a Christ-centered mindset. Like you said, just the little things, the little shifts, or breaking things down into steps so we're not so overwhelmed. And there's so much anxiety in the world today. It's not at all surprising. A lot of people are suffering.
Absolutely. And I think giving, it's kind of like making that personal bubble of peace and safety, you know, even when the world outside just kind of feels like it's falling apart. So.
Yeah. So interesting to think about setting our minds. The St. Paul said, on all that is good and noble and true, and be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There's a lot in there about how we think and where we choose to focus our attention. I love thinking of St. Peter walking across the water until he diverts his attention to the waves and focuses on fear. And then he starts to sink, but wisely reaches for Christ, just as he reached for Christ after he denied him, like always just reaching for Christ, because we're all going to fall and we're all going to have our that sinking feeling from time to time. As we shift our into a Catholic growth mindset with our eyes on virtue, our eyes on Christ, on that gradual transformation in God making all things new, as you said, what would you say are some of the typical fruits?
I think peace, you know, first and foremost, that is, that's been the biggest one I've noticed in my family, is just being at peace, feeling the peace of Christ, feeling just content with where you are, and what you've done. And I think also, you know, I think there's a quote from Irma Bombeck. She said something to the effect of, at the end of my life, you know, when I stand before God, I want to be able to say, you know, here, I used everything you gave me, you know, and that's, I think, another fruit is being able to use everything God gives us, because he does, he fills us full, you know, individually, uniquely, with so many wonderful things. And yet there are so many forces that try, I think, to keep us from using those gifts and those talents, you know, that want us to sort of hide all of that, you know, to reference scripture again, you know, under a basket. And that's not what we're meant to do. You know, we're meant to let that shine and to be the people he's created us to be. So I think, you know, accomplishments in that sense is another fruit. So peace, accomplishment. I think a stronger relationship with the people in your life, you know, your family and your friends also, but, you know, primarily with Christ, having that connection there and recognizing that, you know, yes, he created you specifically, like out of all the people on the face of this planet, you know, and all the animals and the plants, everything, he decided he wanted you. And he made you exactly the way that you are. And that's a huge, huge thing. Because there are, I mean, there's so many people and creation is huge. But we as individuals weren't random. We were wanted, and desired by God. So, you know, those are the three that I think stand out the most to me. And there's also smaller ones, like, you know, just being able to, get things done, you know, to do what you, and I don't know that those are necessarily related to just, you know, a Catholic growth mindset, but being able to do things in the sense that you are, you know, doing them for the right reason, I think, you know, you're not doing them to reach the highest of heights as far as the material world defines it, but you know, you're doing things out of a love of God, out of the love of your neighbor. Your heart is in the right place for the actions that you take and the decisions that you make. So,
yeah, I'm reminded of, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anyone out there with a Bible right now, it might be 1 Timothy, but it's chapter 1, verse 7, where St. Paul says that we are not meant to have a spirit of cowardice, but of, what does it say, boldness, a spirit of power and love and self-control. And so that self-control comes out of what you've been touching on throughout, which is self-knowledge, that awareness of yourself, managing the beautiful gifts you've been given, and just, you know, keeping our eyes on Christ. I love the peace. I love the accomplishment, the growing closer to God. So that confidence, that holy boldness that comes out of a healthy humility. I can do all things in Christ, as you said, Philippians 4:13, another one of my favorites. We seem to have a lot of the same favorites.
We do.
So any other stories, examples that you'd like to leave us with, Jenny, of what is the power of just the shift of the way we think?
I think that there's so much static, you know, in the world, especially today, you know, with social media, with, you know, instantaneous news, it's really easy to get bogged down on top of our own internal devices that kind of seek to bog us down initially. You know, and I think that once you are able to break through the static, you can hear God's voice so much clearly. So much more clearly, you know, it's like you're talking to somebody and the signal on your cell phone isn't good, and then you get to this point where finally, you know, there's no more there's no more static, there's nothing getting in the way of hearing God's voice in your life. You know, that doesn't mean that, you know, all that it's going to be a consistent conversation, because it's always, you know, I think about Mother Teresa, who really struggled to hear his voice in her life. You know, but there is a sense of rightness, and that things are as they should be once you are able to make that shift. And you really can focus on being who you are and becoming more fully alive in God.
So. Yeah. And Jenny, would you take us out with just any thoughts you have for moms and dads when you're looking at your kids and they're all different and some are really sensitive and some you have to kind of, you know, ground because they're, you know, in a way to focus, you know, like they all have their different challenges and struggles. How can we set an environment for our children that helps to build that Catholic growth mindset? Like, what can we do? What kinds of things can we say or do or be around our children? Let's end on that note of just empowering parents.
Sure. I think modeling, first and foremost, you know, being open with them about the way you handle your own challenges, you know, being open about your own experiences with suffering, but not just, you know, yes, I'm suffering, I'm miserable, but the fruits that came out of that too. You know, so helping them to see that, you know, yeah, my mom went through some really hard times, but, you know, she learned this about herself. And obviously it would be age appropriate. So, you know, you're not going to be telling the same thing or modeling the same thing to a 3 or 4 year old that you would to some, you know, to a child who's 13 or 14. But I think, you know, our words matter. And our actions matter too. And so it does feel like, gosh, it's a huge, huge responsibility. But you know, parenting is a huge responsibility. So I think, you know, the more you open the lines of communication, the more you let them see that you're a real person, you know, and that you have been there too. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, and that takes a healthy humility, doesn't it, to let the kids see that we struggle too. Everybody, find Jenny Kochus at notsoformulaic.com. I will also include links to her 2 previous episodes with us, Building Executive Function Skills and Moms and Kids, and also Homeschooling Kids Who Are Wired Differently. And so many resources and great community at her website. Again, that's notsoformulaic.com. Jenny, thank you so much. It's always so good to talk with you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Don't go away. We have our short feature coming right up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chantal Howard with another episode of From Ideal to Real. I'm so excited to be here with you in this new year. And I know that for many, getting the engines moving again, the commitment back in place, the enthusiasm of our children back up to where it needs to be so that we can actualize transformation in their lives it can be kind of a tug of war. But at the same time, I know that with a new year, if I can model for them new habits and commitments and efforts in planning and organizing and structure, that they too can step into that and begin to get excited and catch the wave. Today, I want to talk about, in particular, having the courage to explore what it looks like within your homeschool if one or the other of you as parents have to take the lead. Now, traditionally, of course, moms are the homeschooling mothers, and we've always kind of just assumed that that is the way it needs to be. But there are so many circumstances in today's world where work demands or even callings in the hearts of women are asking them to step into the workplace or to work from home in a more dominant role. And so I just want to give you a little encouragement. If that feels like maybe there's some disgruntled struggle there where you feel a little bit of guilt about perhaps surrendering more of a lead role in your homeschool and allowing your spouse to step in instead. The reason that this is so fresh on my heart is because this is an emerging reality for me right now. I have an opportunity to pursue full-time work from home, to still be engaged with my children, of course, and to be active in the role of support and leader and spiritual mother. But my husband is actually taking the charge with homeschooling. And so we have been through this tug of war over the last couple months as we've come to grips with the fact that that's where the Lord is calling him to be. So perhaps some of you are dealing with that same struggle. And one of the things that gave me peace was just going back to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and reflecting on my role, our role as parents, as the primary educators. And so I just want to share this with you as a source of hopefully inspiration, whether this is your particular discernment or not. This can help contextualize your mission within the context of your homeschooling as a Catholic family. So paragraph 2223, parents have the first responsibility for the education of their children. Note that it doesn't say moms, it's parents. Together, you get to decide. And they, meaning the parents, bear witness to this responsibility first by creating a home where tenderness, forgiveness, respect, fidelity, and disinterested service are the rule. And for my husband and I, we've both had to explore that. What does it look like if he's in that role and I am serving in a different capacity? The home is well suited for education in the virtues. This requires an apprenticeship in self-denial, sound judgment, and self-mastery, the preconditions of all true freedom. This is such an inspiring phrase, because what it really represents in my own life is that as I am stepping into a certain role of self-denial, choosing what is prudent for my family, and actualizing self-mastery in my own life and in my own work, putting boundaries around my role as a woman of in the workplace, I can actually still create that environment where my children can thrive and I can still fulfill my vocation fully. So I just think this is such an important thing. And of course, the preconditions for all true freedom, self-denial, sound judgment, and self-mastery. Parents should teach their children to subordinate the material and instructional dimensions to interior and spiritual ones. This is so important for us to remember as we begin our new year. Yes, the academics are important. Yes, it's important that we're teaching them life skills, that we're teaching our families how to manage our money well. But of course, in all things, our interior and our spiritual formation of our children is superior. And this is one of the reasons why I love the fact that my husband has been able to take a more active role in our homeschool, because he, being a theologian and loving, just a lover of prayer and of Our Lady, leads our children every single day in prayer, even as I'm going off to work. And so I have every confidence that that particular mission is being accomplished. Parents have a general responsibility to give good example to their children by knowing how to acknowledge their own failings to their children. Parents will be better able to guide and correct them. This is such a powerful reminder to us as parents as we begin the new year, to begin with mercy, forgiveness, and celebration around the grace that the Word made flesh has come to bring us as parents and as children. So I hope this is a helpful reflection. Primarily, I just think it's worthy that we marinate in this particular text this week as we set our goals for 2022 and as we look at what it is that God is asking each one of us as parents to embrace and to remember that it is a work of both. It is a work of husband and wife together. So if you haven't taken time as a couple to discern your particular roles in your homeschool, I hope that this is the catalyst that will inspire you to sit down and chew on that a little bit. And you may be surprised what God calls you to, and to remember that it's okay if it doesn't look like the stereotypes that we've imagined. But the key is to make sure that this particular guiding text is at the heart of what we're creating in our homeschool environments. This is the recipe for success, my friends. So, Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2223. I hope that this is a source of inspiration to you all. And until next time, Happy New Year, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and help encourage and foster in you a true spirit of freedom and enthusiasm around your homeschooling this new year. God bless.
That's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com, where you can get online courses for your grade school, middle school, and high school student. Learn from the experts and make your homeschooling easier. Be sure to leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. And we'll see you next time here on the Homeschooling Saints podcast.